It's that inner suburban sanctuary of the community coming together and watching their team take battle and doing it in our own backyard, whatever the conditions were, we were here.
So you follow the AFL, do you? I go, of course. Who do you pray for? And I'd say, Carlton Football Club. And they'd say, ah, Kuta Furties. This guy came in and apparently he could have gone to the Olympics because he was really good at this sport and that's what he's Victorian champion in high jump, long jump, whatever it was. And he said, okay, but he's Greek. No, mate. His mother's Italian. It's all right, his mother's Italian. It's like, all right then, no problems, you know, he might go places.
Favola just hauled it in out of midair, gave it to Kuta, tight angle, bends it back. Oh, what a kick! Oh. What a kick! Oh, what a goal!
He's like that Maccabi Diva, you know, the racehorse. When he would run across the field, he seemed to do that with a lot more ease than your average player, and even you, great player, you know, they seem to have to run a lot, you know, make more steps. Where when Kuta did it, it was like it was just a nice stride. That, you know. And also his size, his shoulders and his legs, and he wasn't Adonis.
He's got fans at the back of the pack, a chance for Kuta, but he's plenty of time, and he pops it through.
And when he picked the ball up with that one hand and then moved everyone else out with the other hand, I just thought, he's a robot. Maybe he's a robot, you know, he's a Russian robot.
Oh, Kuta. That was like magic, I think.
He was pretty special.
That man, Kuta Furties, taking the mark. He's doing it at all ends of the ground.
Probably the best individual game I've seen this season.
When Kuta Furties was on, we're a hard team to beat.
Off play, Kuta Furties, a goal.
The other team had to be pretty good to beat us with an informed Kuta Furties in the side. A lot of people talk about the 99 preliminary final. What Kuta Furties did in that quarter of football, pretty much the whole game, but what he did in that last quarter of football. Some say played the greatest quarter anyone's ever seen out of one player. He was just like Speedy Gonzalez, just run all over the place, and you didn't even know how he got there. He was just there. One of those days that'll go down, and you know, that's how I remember Carlton. And that preliminary final was just one of the greatest things I'd ever seen.
When I got thrown in the midfield, I was pretty appreciative, and I just sort of ran around like a little kid, I guess, and I was in the right spots at the right time.
And he wanted to be successful at what he did, whatever he did. He wanted to be number one. He wanted to be the best. He wanted to get the most possessions. He wanted to get goals, and he wanted the team to play off in a grand final.
Anthony, Kuta Furties.
That's what he strived for. He wasn't just out there, you know, it's a paycheck, you know, I'll do my best, whatever happens, happens. He wanted the team that he represented to go all the way.
Long to the square, Kuta's got the sit, Kuta's there, Kuta's got it! Kuta Furties does it magnificently well, over the shoulder, can the captain lift it? He can! Kuta lines up, in the pocket, working his back, oh, we like it, Billy, he's got his second!
For me, he'll always be a champion and a legend who I got to see play pretty much 99% of his games.
Kuta Furties at the back!
The presence the man had and the way he backed up, you know, that Adonis body running out onto the field and the things he did every time he was near the ball, the way he executed the ball, what he did, the running, his passion and his attitude to football and Carlton and his teammates. I think all warrants Anthony Kuta Furties for the Hall of Fame.
The word Adonis is used in Australian football, it will always refer to Anthony Kuta Furties. That was the perfect depiction of what you come to mean to people. I did wonder whether Vince would go all underbelly and Carlton crew on us, but
a bit of a worry. Did you get a sense over the years that you were playing or in the aftermath of what you meant to people?
Not at the time, Jared. I mean, obviously, you know, as a young kid, I had that dream to play AFL footy, and I was lucky enough to meet Collingwood support. And at 14, got the letter from the Carlton Football Club. I was a little bit unsure about it, and got down there though, and had the, you know, I picked by luck the most incredible club to have played for, and the supporters, like Vince himself, you know, in front of the Heatley stand, I can still remember now when we watched the reserves playing. We look down there and you see all the, don't know if they were the Carlton crew, but I guess if you see Vince there, it may have been part of it. But they were around and they were glorious days. And, you know, when I reflect back, I always think of the supporters and what they meant to me. So, but at the time, for me, it was just a normal part of my life. You know, a lucky kid from the Lower Thomastown area who was lucky enough to just go and play AFL footy and loved it.
So a Greek dad and an Italian mum who emigrated and settled in Layla. How did you find Australian football?
Yeah, my father was born in Egypt too, so I don't know what I am actually. And my wife's Macedonian, so who knows, my poor kids, I don't know what they are. But anyway, at the age of eight, you know, we went to a primary school, had over 1,000 kids. My older brother Paul was there, and our friend invited us down to a local football club. We fell in love with that oval ball, not the round ball, and we went down there without telling mum and dad, and it was pitch dark by the time we got home, and I still remember both mum and dad, they were furious at us, and we told them where we had been, and they both said, you're not going to play that game, and we said we really want to, and had a wonderful Australian family that picked us up from home, took us to the games, and halfway through the year was, when they see mum and dad out in the garden doing their chores that they did every weekend, and they said, we're going to come out and speak to your parents, and you know, we said, yeah, no problem, and deep down inside we're thinking, good luck, because I don't really speak English, so... They came out and tried to pronounce Mr. and Mrs. Koutafidis. Mind you, I couldn't say Koutafidis until I was 15, I think, so it wasn't easy. Then my dad said, I'll take you to the games. You know, we had to allow for an hour because my father couldn't read the Malways, and we had a few issues. And then from next year onwards, my mum wanted to know what the game was all about, and she started coming along, and they did not miss not one single game that I played, and became really the most incredible supporters for me. And, you know, that Australian game really woke us up, you know, out of our own traditional European way of living to learn and understand the Australian way of living. And that was, to me, really, really important for them. And to this day, my mum, who's here tonight, she still loves the club and loves football. It's hard to say, but probably even more than myself. So she's a big supporter.
You loved athletics. It is a misnomer that you're an athlete who came to footy late, but you were dead keen and you knew world records in events that you were thinking about. You might have been an Olympian.
Maybe. I was pretty lucky that first year at the age of eight when I played football, my brother Paul started athletics. I watched him for half a season before I finally had the confidence to get out there. And I started, you know, competing. I was quite a natural at it by the time I was in grade five. I was state high jump champion by the time I was 15. You know, I was a national high jump champion under 16s, and, you know, won a few state hurdles championships, 210 metre hurdles. By the end of it, I was Australian champion hurdles, 110 metres hurdles. I had the Australian record, and I got beaten in a high jump by Tim Forsyth when I jumped 208. He jumped 2.16 metres, phenomenal high jumper. And that's when Carlton Football Club offered me a contract, and Stephen Goff was part of it. I think Ian Collins himself. My problem was I brought in my two managers, mum and dad, who had so I sat there as the interpreter, and I signed one of the, you know, a very average contract. But as you know, later on, it was a lot different later on, Jared. Anyway, let's not talk about that.
You join your first coach in the Hall of Fame tonight, David Parkin. Is it reasonable to suggest that you confounded him?
Yeah, look, Parko and I probably didn't hit it off straight away, you know, too well. He came in, this athlete, this guy from Laylaw, and it didn't help because my role model and idol was, not role model, idol, I loved Vanilla Ice. So I decided to get the two stripes in the side of my head, and I had the flat top with a mullet. So as soon as David Parkin seen that, he just came straight up to me and said, you're not going to play AFL senior footy. So I knew I was in trouble, and I had to leave it on for a while. But Parko, after a few years of, you know, I was really standoffish maybe, but he's a remarkable friend now. Whenever I see him, I have such a lot of respect for Parko, and he taught me so much about, you know, living life, not solely football, but also outside of football and life after football. And that's what Parko was terrific at. And he was a fantastic role model for me. And, you know, the life lessons that he's taught me that I can take with me forever, I still remember his words, your pages of youth turn over very quickly, and it made no sense to me for many years until I was probably 25 or 26, decided to give Parko a call and said, Parko, I finally understand what you mean. And your footy career goes through so quickly and you don't realise as a young kid. And what he wanted from all of us was really to make the most of it. And that's what I was able to do because of his wise words. So, Parko, thank you, wherever you are in here.
He tried you everywhere, but the breakthrough came, and this is where you changed the game. At 191 centimetres and 98 kilos, you went onto the ball. The wing was the breakthrough, but then you transformed when you were near the footy.
Yeah, it was pretty difficult for me. You know, I came in, you know, as a player, probably played in the ruck and forward line in 1992. Well, I couldn't get a game in 1991. 1992, I played in at full back. In the reserves, was lucky enough to win a best and fairest there. But, you know, I played half back, half forward, and I don't think Parko knew me where to play me. And then finally in the second half of 1994, he played me on the wing. And from that day onwards, I never looked back. And I became that bona fide player. And, you know, he knew I could outmatch other opponents. And, you know, he gave me that rein to go out there. And he said, you know, if you ever see Kuta one-on-one, just kick him the ball. And that's what the, you know, the club did. So from there, people always ask me, because I played in every position on the game, what's my favourite position? By far, the midfield for me. I just played my natural game in that way where I can just go instinctively hunt for that ball. And that's what I did. And, you know, thankfully, Parko has seen me, you know, as the player on the wing, and then utilised me also through the middle in other periods of my career. And I was able to experience it in all different positions. And to me, I walk out of that game with so much experience and knowledge by, you know, being able to play in every position.
So you sorted footy out, you became a premiership player in a great Carlton team, but everything changed, and your dad had been such an influence on you when he was stricken with cancer.
Yeah. I was still living at home, and I lived at home until I was 27, and probably wouldn't have left home, actually, if I didn't get married. But, it was tough for me. You know, as a young kid, I loved my father dearly, and I always just thought he'd be there forever. And, you know, in 1997, when he got diagnosed with cancer, really hit me hard as a young kid. You know, the celebration, 95, winning the premiership, then all of a sudden there it was, the day I really dreaded and never thought I could ever imagine that happening. So, I lost touch with footy. I really lost my way. It was a pretty dark time for me back then, and it was 3 months later where I lost him. And I found it very difficult as a young kid. So I tended to, drink a lot and party and things that you really shouldn't do as a footballer. And, you know, if you can turn back time, I certainly wouldn't do what I did. But through the low point of 1998, when I struggled to get a kick against Fremantle, I think I finished the game with 5 possessions. By the time I flew home, you know, my greatest mentors, Wayne Britton and Barry Mitchell, sat me down and said, you know, you really got to do something about it. Otherwise, you're not fit enough if you really want to play this game. And I went home and vowed to my father after that I would train harder and play better than I ever played before. And what led from that was, you know, 3 of the most remarkable years for me, 1999 and 2000 being the most valuable player award, you know, voted by your peers, and then 2001. So I learned a lot of lessons, Jared, and I still take those lessons with me afterlife. And that was the most difficult, to this point in time, the most difficult period for me to accept the death of my father.
The iconic image of you is with the ball in one hand. How did that come to be your trademark move?
I've mentioned my brother quite a bit tonight, haven't I? My brother Paul, I've got to mention Christian too. But my brother Paul in grade 6 got a letter from his primary school teacher, Takuta, the only kid to pick up the ball with one hand. Unfortunately for Paul, I took it to the AFL and got known as the man to pick up the ball with one hand. So I took it off him and copyrighted it myself. But I don't know, like we were never allowed to watch through footy replays at home. Mum never let us, and she's a pretty strong, tough lady. I'm just looking at her now, a bit nervous. But So I don't know, like we couldn't really afford the proper size footy. We had the small footies at home. We always just picked up the ball one hand, listened to the radio, pretended we were playing, and we played that way the entire way. And the first time I did it in 1992 against Collingwood in round 21, it was against Jamie Turner. I think I shrugged him off, picked up the ball one hand and kicked it down, and the great John Doherty marked the ball in the forward pocket. Parko came to me the next day and said, I've been waiting 30 years to see someone do what you just did yesterday, Kuta. So I didn't even realise I did it. And it was only the supporters who came around and also told me that, you know, that I was picking up the ball one hand. It was just the way I played my entire career as a junior too.
I'd say it turned out pretty well, wouldn't you? You might have a few thank yous you'd like to say.
Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously Mum and Dad, my late father was the biggest reason for me to get there and finally make it to the AFL. My little, you know, that dream I had as a young boy, could not have done it without them. My two brothers, Paul and Christian.
who through the downtime still were always there for me and remarkable support. My wife, Susie, who now, you know, with three beautiful kids, have made my life such a joy. To my best mate, Sash, who I spent a lot of times with, you know, dark times, hard times, good times, and all that is still now there with me. My very good teammate, Ange Christou, who was also like a brother to me, and a wonderful friend. Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional. And my good mate Bill, my two brother-in-laws who are sitting on the table, Avia and Chris, just to everyone, to David Parkin, to Wayne Britton, Barry Mitchell, David Ellison, all my wonderful sponsors throughout my time, the most incredible supporters, you know, Vince Colosimo and the rest of them, the Carlton Football Club. What a joy it was to play for them and represent them for 16 years. It's just, you know, what I bring out of there is incredible and priceless. I'll take with me forever. And all the remarkable people associated at that football club. You know, the amount of people I met, the great people who taught me life lessons, I thank them dearly. And to everyone, the AFL, for the most incredible game in the world. And I'm forever grateful that I chose this wonderful game and that I was born in this wonderful country and got the opportunity to represent the Carlton Football Club. And I thank you all for the honour. It's an absolute honour for me to be here on stage and be inducted into the AFL Hall of Fame. I would have been just as happy to just have played one AFL game, but this has gone beyond my highest expectations and dreams as a young kid. So thank you, everyone.
Anthony Koutafidis, our member of the Australian Football Hall of Fame.